Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Tony, where are we at?
Well, last time the party was traveling on their way to Nishtun. And who did they meet last time?
Let's see. Well, first we did some shopping. And we got some items. Got some armor. Learned a little bit about level 1 versus level 2 pieces and enchantments and how those work with runes. Then we started traveling and we met a ranger. What was his name? Gildan? What was his name? I don't remember.
Gildan Twinkletoes.
Gildan Twinkletoes.
Belacius. Hey, you were nowhere near close.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound bad.
Belacius Twinkletoes, that's right.
Gildan, yeah, that sounds just like Belacius.
Oh, it was Gerald the Stout that he tells a story about.
Yes.
That when he crossed the Dread Crowns and Miss Alina Two Swords, that his family was stuck on pikes. So don't mess with the Dread Crowns is pretty much the story he told us. And then we were walking a little bit further, found a wagon.
A Dodge Caravan.
Of only one.
You tried to dodge the caravan.
Didn't exactly work. Of course, it was actually an ambush. But thankfully, one of our people had a perception check and knew that it was an ambush. And we were just about ready to fight when I believe time was called.
Yep. So, you guys had rolled initiative. We already took care of that last time.
And we believe there's an archer somewhere that we've not identified yet.
That's right. Yes.
That is correct. So
arrow that landed. My horse's feet.
Right. Very strange to have a horse with feet versus hooves. He's just got a size 13. Just clap. Well, it's not real. It's not a real horse. So
yeah, it's a special horse.
With human shaped feet.
All right. So they are going to go ahead and
surrender.
Right off the bat. The one off to the right is the bigger one, the one that is stepped back. The one that's closer to the caravan is the main one. So she, on her turn, throws a dagger at Jethal.
Ah, what a jerk.
She sticks him right in the neck.
Jethal does a 23 hit.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
You take 2 damage.
Ooh.
From a dagger. And then after she throws that dagger, she then runs and hides behind the caravan.
What a jerk.
Up next goes the bigger guy, who then charges at Jethal.
Yes.
On the horse.
Or not charge. Well, moves up and then makes an attack. Mm. And does a 19 hit you?
Yes.
All right. Cleaves into you for 6 damage.
Ooh.
And then he goes to make a second attack.
Oh no.
Does a 8 hit you?
No.
Alright, he misses with his second attack. And that is his turn. So up next goes
How far are they from me?
60
feet?
See. You are approximately... So you are about 60 feet
from him,
and about 55 feet away from her.
55 from her?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Probably 60, because you have to go around the caravan.
Yeah.
But
60 to go...
It would be 60 to either one.
Okay. And can I do a quick... Does it take me an action to do a quick perception to see if I can figure out where the arrow came from? Like, if I know the direction, like, the arrow came...
So, from where you're standing, it came from the opposite side of the caravan from you.
It came from my bow. It's so strange.
So on the side I'm on, it's where
I can't. So I don't see anything. I don't see anybody moving over there. Is that right? But I do a perception check real quick.
Does
it cost me an action?
I'll just tell you. So you're standing. So you have the caravan there. You can see it on the map.
Yep.
And then, so in front of the caravan is Jethal and Aether.
Yep.
Off to the side, to the west side of the caravan, is you.
Yep.
Currently hiding among the grass. So to the north and east of the caravan is where it came from.
Okay. And I don't see anyone there.
You do not see anyone there. They are currently stealth, although you can take a standard action to observe. So essentially, you're running through the area. You have to stop your movement and look.
Sure. I'm not going to stop.
Though. Okay.
I'm going to pull arrow into the dude.
Put an arrow into the dude. That's a good plan.
Yep. So I'm going to roll the first one, and my ones have returned.
Nice.
That was a natural one?
Natural one.
All right.
I think that would be a miss.
Probably is a miss.
Does this have same rules as Pathfinder 1, where if the object is blocked by trying to shoot around somebody? Is he shooting through me?
I think he can shoot around you, yes. Okay. I'm honestly not sure on that rule. We'll look that up later, but... Okay. I'm gonna allow it for right now. The problem is a lot of these rules have changed between editions. They tried to go out of their way to make it simpler for Pathfinder Second Ed, so you didn't have to worry about precise shot or things like that. Mm-hmm. So okay. I believe you can shoot into combat like this, but we can validate that later.
He was dancing around and got his back to me. So what happened?
Okay.
So I'm gonna take a second shot at him.
Okay.
Did I do this at negative? I take a negative on the second shot, right?
Negative five.
Okay, so come on one again. So 12, that's 20 minus 5, that's a 15.
That would be not a hit.
Not a hit. Okay, I can take a third shot.
Negative 10. You can take a third shot with negative 10, yes.
Okay, come on one. That is a miss.
Okay. So you fired three shots off with your arrow, all three.
It accidentally hits her.
You pull the arrow back, and the arrow kind of like, you ever really done bad at archery and like your arrow like slides down before you actually let go of the
bow? Nope, that's never happened to me. I lost that toe a different way.
Got it. All right, so up next is Jethal.
So I'm three arrows down.
I'm going to use command on him.
Okay.
I'm going to command him to drop what he's holding.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is a will save DC 18 for him.
All right. He rolls a 6. And overall gets a 10. So on his next turn,
he has to drop what he's holding.
Drop what he's holding. Sounds good. How many actions is that spell?
It's just the next action.
No. You're casting that spell.
I'm sorry. It's two of my actions.
Okay. So you have one more action remaining.
Yep. And then I'm going to move back behind Aether.
Okay. So about there.
One more space.
Drop that. I'm going to stand over here.
Okay. Drop that. I'm going that way.
Pretty much.
All right. Sounds good. Up next is Tegan Stumbleduck.
So I'm going to pull off a fireball off one of my three necklaces.
We're going for the nuclear option.
So it's a 66 with a 20-foot radius. Is there any way I can, as my first action, determine which direction or within a 20-foot radius where I think that archer's at?
You have a good idea that he is somewhere in this tree over here.
Oh, there's a tree right there.
Somewhere in that area. Okay.
And it's a 20-foot radius, so if I hit the center of the tree, I'll most likely get him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So the DC's 27. Will save for him.
Probably a reflex save, I'm guessing.
A reflex save, sorry. For half damage, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's reflex.
I will roll for him.
That sounds right.
And he gets an 18, so he fails. So go ahead and roll your damage.
All right, might I borrow some D6?
You may borrow some D6s.
All right, this is fun.
He actually draws. He completes the command right away and attempts to complete it.
So fails for the first action. On its next turn, the creature must use a single action to do as you command.
That's a failure.
For the failure. He failed his will save.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
So
22.
22 damage.
So
all right.
First action, he has.
You hear a scream, and a guy leaps out of the tree that is now engulfed in flames, and leaps out and lands on the ground, and he is no longer hiding.
Is he burning? Is he dead?
He is not dead.
Is he still burning?
It doesn't light him on fire. It burns him, but not like he's sustained on fire or anything like that.
Sweet.
And he moves to not in the tree. He is right here. And I will add him onto the initiative chart. Oh, nice.
Does he take fall damage?
He doesn't. That was factored into the damage.
Dude, and he's
actually
still up.
He doesn't take fall damage. He actually is immune to fall damage.
It's spring.
Like. Well, immune to fall damage at that height anyway. And up next, after Tegan, goes Aether.
All right, I'm going to draw my Falchion.
Okay.
First action. And I will, that's not a 5-foot step, is it? So I'm going to have to use another action to approach him.
You can just use a move action.
Yeah. So I'm just moved that, and I'll attack.
Thirty is a hit.
You rolled a 30?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. Gotta hold on.
So your weapon is now magical, right?
Yeah.
So while you're swinging your weapon, can you give us a description of what the weapon looks like now that it's magical? Like, does it have any visible effects to it?
It's inscribed with runes, and the runes will glow when it strikes an object.
Okay.
In this case, they glow red.
Okay.
So, all right. I was just trying to figure out where the crit range on this guy. Is it on a weapon for the crit?
So, well, there's not such a thing as crit range in here. It's based upon whether or not you beat his armor class by 10.
Oh,
yeah.
Which you did not beat his armor class by 10.
That's a Pathfinder 1 thing.
That's a Pathfinder 1 rule of the crit range.
All right. That's what I was trying to determine here.
No worries.
Been a while. All right, and so I will do 11 damage.
All right, he takes 11 damage.
Get him.
He is still standing. All right, after that goes the archer.
Jeez.
Who is going to try to shoot at the person who threw a fireball at him.
Does he have to stand up first?
Oh yeah, he stands up.
Am I still in stealth, or did the whole fireball?
Fireball kind of, took you out of stealth.
Aww.
Also, yeah. You didn't maintain your stealth. You didn't take an action to maintain your stealth. So.
Oh, I didn't take my third action at all. No, never mind. Okay.
So he is going to shoot at you. And he actually pulls a different arrow. So, like, he had the arrows there, and he actually reaches into a different pouch, pulls out a different arrow.
Okay.
Shoot at you. Does a 16 hit your armor class?
On the dot.
Okay. So, that...
Put shield on.
Cool. Okay, so he deals 4 damage. Plus, there is another effect. You need to give me a fortitude save.
7 plus 6, 13 modified.
All right, so you have the slowed effect.
Okay.
Which it looks like that means that you have two fewer actions a turn.
So only have one action a turn.
I'm sorry, one fewer action a turn.
Oh. Dang, I go from 3 to 1? So I go from 3 to 2, which is what I did last turn, so.
So hit with another fireball.
Basically.
And then he shoots at you again.
What?
Mm-hmm. With a minus 5, does a 20 hit you?
Obviously, yep.
Okay. 5 damage.
Okay.
And then he will shoot at you again.
What?
The minus 10 to his attack.
He gets to pull something out and shoot 3 times?
Well, pulling out is part of shooting when it's archery.
Wow. Okay.
So that's minus 10. So does a 13 hit your armor class?
No.
Okay. So that was all of his attacks. And after him goes the lady behind, who will run out and will pull out her own bow and shoot at Tegan. The Jeez. Guy. Generally, the guy who throws giant balls of fire tends to attract a lot of attention.
Should have done the bigger fireball. Didn't realize it had double hit points of mine.
Does a 27 hit your armor class?
Yes.
Is that a critical hit?
No.
It's not. No. It's not more than 10?
Yeah, it's more than 10. You're right.
Okay. So then... Ooh, that's going to hurt. Well, not as much as I thought. 5, 6, 7, 8 damage.
All right, I'm almost out.
She's going to take her second attack.
Jeez. You guys better wipe him out because I'm going to be gone.
Does a 20 hit your armor class?
Yes.
Okay. 2 damage.
All right.
In the immortal words of Sir Elton John's, are you still standing?
Barely.
All right. After that goes the big guy, who immediately goes, whoop, and lets go of his sword, which hits the ground. Then he reaches down, spends an action, picks it back up, and then his third action, he's going to try to hit it. He burned 2 of his actions.
Burned 2 of his actions.
And he looks at himself like, why did I do that?
Yep.
And he rolls a 1. So he drops it again. So he's just kind of juggling with his sword right now. And up next is Hup.
Hup is going to try to roll another 1 and hit him with another arrow. A natural 20? Oh. I can't seem to do what
you
I...
You can't seem to roll a natural 1, apparently. Who are you shooting with an arrow? The big guy?
The big guy.
Okay.
So that is a 38.
That is a critical hit.
All right. So I get to do 1d10. Is that 1d10 twice?
Yes.
Do I double it or do I...
You can roll it twice or you can double it. Your choice.
Okay. I was going to roll the d100 and just add that. So 90 points.
How about 19 points?
Okay. That sounds better.
All right.
So 19.
That is enough to... drop him.
And that is how you do it.
Because apparently fireball doesn't.
You still have 2 actions left.
So is she within range?
She is within range, but not within sight of you.
The wagon's in the way now.
The wagon's in the way.
Hmm. If I stepped out, well, I don't want to step out.
I mean, you can move 30 feet and take a shot against either one of them.
I'll take a shot against her.
Okay, so you're going to move 30 feet?
I'll take a shot against him.
Against the archer?
Yeah.
Okay, so you definitely have to move for that. Well, what's the range on your bow?
60 feet without a negative.
And he is at 105 feet away.
So I'm going to hit at her.
Okay, she is 65 feet with a blocking terrain.
So you'd have to move.
So if you move, let's say, 30 feet. See, can you... Is there any way you can get 30 feet? You move there. No. Does not appear to be anywhere that you can move and not have blocking terrain to her.
Okay.
If you go straight north?
No.
And still.
Yeah.
I mean, you can move 30 feet over here and still have range to, or have open sight to the archer over there.
Let's do that. We'll do that. So he's 105?
No, he'll be closer than that once you move.
Closer now, but...
He'll be more than 60.
He will be more than 60.
Okay, so I'm going to
He would be 75 feet.
75, okay. Let's see if I can roll a one here.
Okay.
No, it's a 13 plus 8. So that's 21 minus 2 for the range.
Minus 5 for second attack.
So 16.
16 does not hit. And that's all three actions because you also
moved. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Jethal, your turn.
And what kind of bow does he have?
He has a longbow.
Ugh, I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
I will Ray of Frost the archer.
Okay. What is your range on Ray of Frost?
120 feet.
I believe you're in range.
Yep.
You and you have line of sight to him too. 70 feet.
That's only a 15.
15?
Yep.
That is not enough to hit him.
Is it his touch attack or is...
There's no such thing as a touch attack.
Oh, and Pathfinder 2?
Yeah.
So you rolled... Did you roll a 15?
No, I rolled a 7.
I rolled a 7.
Oh, and then 8 plus 8 because of your attack plus bonus. Eight.
Yep.
So you got...
And that takes two of my actions. I will cast shield on myself.
Okay. Sounds good.
Done.
Up next is Tegan. He's gonna throw another fireball, probably.
So, what level of slow did he get on it? One or two?
One second. It says slowed one.
Okay, so he would only lose one of his actions.
Okay.
Okay, so I can still cast fireball then.
And that would be your old turn.
Yep. 66.
All right.
DC 20.
Reflex save first.
Yeah.
So he passes his reflex save.
He gets a 27? Jeez.
Well, he rolls a 28, actually. He rolled a 19, and he has 28 overall.
Yeah.
Golly. So is this half damage now?
It'd be half damage.
So you just add it up, and then he can...
I'll do it.
So that's 16, 17, 18, 19.
So, 9 damage.
It's rounded down?
Yeah. Always round down.
Always round down.
Jeez.
So he takes 9 damage.
He's at 40 hit points. He's still not down.
He falls.
Oh, okay. Like, dude. What level is he at?
You surprisingly enough don't outright kill him with that fireball because he dodged most of it.
Yeah.
And Aether.
All right. Well, I'm going to get up to Mistress Ambusher, which I believe is going to take 2 movement to get there.
I believe you are correct, because if you do that, and then...
It's 35.
That's 50 feet overall to get to... Well, 45 feet to get there.
Yep.
So...
Yep. So then... All right, I'm going to do something a little
unorthodox. So you're going to spend 2 actions getting there?
Yep.
Okay.
No matter what,
Yep. And then, instead of attacking her, I'm going to be like, 2 down, you're next.
Intimidator?
Yep.
All right.
All right, and that is... does a 24.
So she goes next. So that was all your actions to get there. You intimidated. She goes. She kind of holds up her bow, drops it, goes, or holds up her bow and a dagger in the other hand, and goes, "I'll surrender if you let me live."
We have a deal.
She drops her weapons.
Tie her up.
Probably use her for some information.
Yeah. Tie her up.
So get some rope and tie her up.
Can I take a move action?
Sure.
Can I pull right in her head? No, I'm not going.
Pull what?
Shoot at her.
Surrender will do.
Boom. your necklace of fireball?
Yeah.
Throwing a ball is a single action, not a double action.
But I... Oh, really?
You can throw...
Because you're pulling the bead off.
You can throw 3, not...
Oh.
1.
Can you just throw the entire necklace in one chunk?
Necklace of Fireball.
Necklace of Fireball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awesome weapon. It's just the thing is once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you spent, what, 900 gold for all that?
Yeah. And it gave me 15 charges, basically.
We can make that back. We get this, the scorpion gem, we sell it.
I'm sure that scorpion gem's worth a lot of money.
That's a lot of fireball necklaces. Forget the end of the world. I need more fireballs.
So is there anything in the wagon? Is it just
Do you go garbage? Look?
Yeah.
Okay. You open up the wagon and you find about four or five corpses in there.
Four, like, human corpses?
Human corpses.
Can we sell them?
To a necromancer?
Probably to a necromancer. If you can find a necromancer, he'll probably buy corpses. I mean, they're usually pretty cheap to come by. But, I mean, he's always looking for more.
Are you going to look for EpiPens?
Any EpiPens?
There were no EpiPens on the corpses.
Any EpiPens on the dead archer?
The dead archer also did not have any allergic reactions to anything.
Okay.
Other than he's very allergic to fireballs, apparently.
not the archer, the big guy.
Oh, the big guy.
Well, he's
probably also allergic to fireballs.
He's telling you this because you asked about EpiPens. You have to tell him you're searching for something other than EpiPens. We learned this on first.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So does he have anything other than EpiPens?
Yes.
He did this to you in the first episode,
that's right,
too.
That's right.
The big guy had a falchion on him. That was kind of his weapon of choice. He was also wearing studded leather armor. Actually, let me pull up his sheet here.
I don't know. He kept on dropping his falchion at him.
So he must have cast grease on it.
Cast grease.
Maybe it's a cursed weapon.
No.
He had a small buckler shield. And he also had a crossbow. In addition to his leather armor. Not studded leather armor. He just had normal leather armor.
Okay.
He wasn't a stud.
Okay. He wasn't a stud.
No.
And the archer had on him, he had a short sword. He did have studded leather armor. He had a longbow. He has 10 arrows remaining. And he also has one dose of lethargy poison.
That's what slows you down?
Yeah.
I'd like to know what she has on her.
Are you just going up and, like, giving her a pat down, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I like that idea.
A pat down for, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Define yeah. Stuff.
Stuff. Definitely stuff. She has a suit of, or chainmail armor.
Yeah.
She also had a hand crossbow. She has a rapier. She has two daggers. Throwing daggers, I should say. She, okay. She had a third one, but she threw it at you. And she also has a holy symbol.
Do we recognize the holy symbol?
Relieve her of all of that.
Knowledge religion? Would that give us what the religion symbol is?
You have to make a religion check.
Okay. 10 modified, 6 and 4.
Okay. It is the god Amphet, god of thievery and assassins. And, like, treachery and stealth and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you guys questioning her?
What, yeah, I guess I'm curious, would it be intimidation, or what would it be to gather information from her that she's not willing to part with?
Diplomacy or intimidation, right?
Thank
you. Rephrase
the question again. I'm not quite sure.
If you're trying to extract information from her that she doesn't want to supply.
There are three ways to do it. You can use deception to trick her into telling you. You can use diplomacy to convince her to tell you. or you can use Intimidate also to convince her to tell you.
Okay.
Each of the three has a different effect on what you can get, and sometimes using one can negate the possibility of using another.
Like using a an intimidation, then trying to use diplomacy.
Yeah, if you're like punch her in the face and like, tell me what you know, and then go, well, actually, I'm your friend. She's probably not going to be as likely to believe that you're her friend.
Never know.
It was a spider on you.
What if you're really convincing?
Wow.
Big spider.
Sorry about your nose. All right. So I guess we should start questioning her. So what are you doing here? Are you just merely highway robbers?
There were people. They were traveling, and we just. This is what we do. We find people who don't have protection and take their stuff. They unfortunately decided to fight back, so we were forced to take their lives.
Would it be a perception to see if she's telling the truth?
That would be absolutely correct.
All right, can I do something to help him rather than doing one myself?
Yeah, you can make a perception, and then if you get 10 or higher, you give him a +2.
Okay. Because I'm not going to get high enough to actually do anything.
Mm. I mean, our perceptions aren't that different.
Really? Mine's a 4.
Mine's just a 6.
Wow. Mine's 15. That gives you
+2.
+2 to yours.
So there'd be a total of 16.
All right. So 16 perception. Probably true, as far as you can tell. I mean, it sounds plausible that she's probably robbing someone on the road, and these people happen to go by, and as opposed to peacefully.
Am I convinced that's what she is, or should I?
You are convinced. With a 16, you are convinced that it's likely that she was just stealing from people who, and they didn't want to give it over willingly, so she took it unwillingly, and then saw the opportunity to possibly take it from someone else again, you know, using the caravan itself, but remains of that.
Okay. What's your organization called?
I'm not at liberty to share that.
Is she from the town we're headed to?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if she's part of the organization, is what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that I don't know if she's just some random highway robber or some part of something bigger.
How well do you know the town of
Nishtun?
I know of it.
How well do you know of it?
I know of it. Give me a just call. Give me a perception check. You were the one who did the pat down, right?
Yep. That's a 1.
Natural 1?
Natural 1.
Okay.
So, very bad.
So, you found some of the stuff on her.
Fair.
You can try diplomacy.
I come in and slap her.
You do? Okay.
Tell us what we want.
You're going to intimidate her?
You want to know what I know about this tune?
Yes.
Very well. And she stands up and she goes, I will tell you. And she quickly reaches into one of her bags and throws something in her mouth and swallows it.
How is she doing that when she... Did she untie herself?
Yeah.
Okay.
She untied herself, grabbed a flask, and drank it before we could do anything.
Did not grab a flask.
Grab an item.
Grabbed an item that was in a, essentially a quick conceal pouch. That's something that you're supposed to be able to grab without an action, by design.
Jeez. That's a lot.
And she goes, after she swallows it, she goes, I will tell you nothing. And collapses on the ground.
She wanted us to live, and then she took her own life? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does if she knows something that, like, if these are really, really bad people in the city.
Yeah.
Like, and we want to get information about the city, and she would be found out that she's telling information that would be worse than death if they catch her. And
I think we need to do further investigation on her.
How do we... I'm going to do a medicine check on her to see if I can... Like, does
see if
she
can revive her?
Is she, like, dead? Like, falls down dead, or Like she took like
a wouldn't give me deep a medicine sleep check.
Or something.
See what her current state is.
Come on, 1, 4
overall.
Yeah.
She's definitely on the ground.
You look at her. She's like, well, she's not moving.
Nope, we've lost her.
We've lost her. Doctor.
Damn it, Kirk.
I gotta say,
damn it, Kirk. I'm a jeweler, not a doctor.
Not really a jeweler in the first place.
You look at her and go, maybe if we tied a tourniquet around her neck.
Wow. Hey, Tegan, can you look to see if she's really dead?
Okay. I didn't do anything to make this any better. I
looked distracted when I was checking.
2 modified.
So you help him get around her neck.
Okay.
I think we should tie it tighter.
Don't worry, guys. We got this.
Well, the thing is obviously she swallowed something that was killing her. So if you tie the tourniquet tight enough, it can't get all the way down the throat, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You guys in your medicine checks. Good God.
Can I use my thievery check to see if I can steal her will to kill herself?
This is getting dark at this point. Let's stop this particular line of. Well, no, I'm not gonna stop you.
Hey, well, let's at least find out if she's got any more hidden pockets. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's rifle up, because yep. Apparently somebody's just like she has stuff.
She had stuff. I found most of it.
Yeah, go ahead and give a perception check for that.
16.
Okay, you don't find any more hidden pockets on her.
Do I find any hidden pockets that are empty?
Yes, you do find a hidden pocket that is empty.
Okay.
There's only one.
Okay.
You want to do that on the other people and see if there's any hidden pockets on the other people?
Oh, that's a good idea.
You search the big guy. You don't find anything there. With the same perception check on the other archer, you do find a similar hidden pocket with a similar... It looks like a small tablet. No bigger than maybe like the size of like a D20.
Sure.
No papers or emblems or anything that would indicate that if they were part of anything or anything?
You do find actually a note on it. Well, you find a partially burned note on the archer. It says,
beware of fire.
Really, the only thing you can find on there is the word dread. Huh? The rest of it is completely burned away. There probably would have been more had fireballs not been thrown at him.
Signed by Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I wouldn't have survived if there hadn't been fireballs thrown at him.
fireballs.
Are you a cleric, though? Are you a healer?
Yeah, monk. I can heal magically. I just can't do medicine well.
No, but can you heal her?
If she's not dead, I can. I can throw a potion down her, or I can heal her.
Yeah, try that. Do you like...
For 1d8 plus 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be medicine skill to prevent her from dying?
If she's not dead, yes. So here's the thing. I'll tell you this in game. So she swallowed something, likely a poison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's an ingested poison, which ingested poisons tend to be much more powerful than contact poisons. Yeah. They're also harder to administer too.
Yeah.
But the thing is that a poison generally doesn't do damage. It generally weakens your stats. So this would probably weaken her constitution down. So healing her, she has no hit point damage from.
Oh, okay. There you go.
She's constitution damage.
She has constitution damage, which the heal spell doesn't remove.
Okay.
Right.
There's
nothing
we can
She's
do.
Dead, Jim.
Can I use diplomacy to tell her to walk away from the light? Walk away from the light.
You can tell her anything you want, but she's not hearing much of it.
All right, well, if we can't find anything of any note that would indicate any type of organization they belong to or any other clues.
So I have guild lore.
Okay.
So the assassin holy symbol?
Is that any guild or is it like jeweler guild only? Like, is how specific does it get to?
I mean, organizations tend to cross boundaries quite often. So, I mean, it might not apply directly, but it would make sense that they might have some sort of relation to it.
Okay. So I rolled a 2, and I'm going to add 7 to it, so it's a 9. Almost a 10.
Almost a 10. Well, you're almost a 10. Tells you that the group that you're likely all thinking about at this point, the Dread Crowns, do actually have a lot of dealings with jewelry. Jewelry crafters and jewelry thieves, in so far as they tend to either hire them,
steal from them,
or sometimes if they find a particularly successful jewelry thief, they will go out of their way to track them down, take all their stuff, either willingly or unwillingly.
Sure.
So it's one of the reasons why in the region of Nishtun, you generally don't want to publicize a major theft that you accomplish.
Sure. Okay.
No.
Makes sense.
We're not going to get anything that way.
Well, if we have, is there any other way we can, any clues that we would think we would gather here as to why they're there, or we just move on?
One last thing about that, that Gildor check. The holy symbol you guys found, the holy symbol of Amthet. Amthet is, for the most part, almost every holy person within the Dread Crowns worships Amthet.
Okay.
So
they all have these symbols on them?
Those are the members of the clergy.
Oh, so the
holy people.
Yep. So she was the one
who is the cleric of
Amthet.
You noticed the archer who also had the same tablet did not have a holy symbol.
Right. Okay.
So she was a cleric, he was the archer and the fighter.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So
grab their stuff and go. I don't know if anybody can use the archer or the falcon.
Is the wagon really broken?
It's repairable. There's no.
Did they just take the wheel off and you can.
They pretty much just took the wheel off and you could reattach it. What there aren't any animals to drag it around at this point.
So there's four animals. There's three.
You could probably rig it up to hook it up to the other things.
Are you going
to
drag all the bodies out of this?
Yeah, we'll haul the bodies out of it
and take the wagon in.
We could.
Okay.
We'll probably give them a proper burial.
Yeah, we'll put them on the side of the road.
Yeah, you're not too thrilled with that idea.
Okay. I have no problem giving them a proper burial.
Okay. So I'll work on the wagon, the wagon fixed up.
You guys can do that stuff.
Yep. Great.
Okay. You're not going to help at all.
So go ahead and give me a thievery check for repairing.
Okay.
Because you can both disassemble and repair with the same skill.
13.
That's enough. It's not that hard to put the spoke back in and everything. It looks like this was.
I just like to add that I add 10 on my thievery check.
Meaning you rolled a 3.
Oh my lord!
Your character name is correct. When you roll the dice, you go So you do notice that the way that this was rigged up, it probably was actually attached to an ox as far as was pulling the
cart. Oh, sure.
So it's going to need at least 2 horses, and it's not really designed for 2 horses. You can rig it up to work with 2 horses.
Yeah, can we use 2 of your spirit type animal? Like, if we use two of the animals, right, yours and
you probably the have to have riders on them because they don't generally ride on their own without a rider. The spectral ones don't.
Gotcha.
That's fine. One of us can ride on the specter and then
I'll be in the wagon.
Yeah, I figured it was going to happen.
Hey, now you have the other spectral ones for longer.
Yep.
See? Jethal's just looking out for you guys.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure that's what's going on.
Exactly.
He can ride in the bed.
He's going to ride in the carriage. Yeah.
In the bed,
yeah.
Where the dead all the bodies were.
They're not there anymore.
It's just probably
maggoty. Okay, yeah.
I use my prestidigitation to kind of clean it up in there.
So it's actually quite effective at doing that.
See?
Prestidigitation.
Yeah.
It's a fun word to say.
You don't get to say it very often. You don't use it very often.
Nope.
But yeah, so you clean out the...
Wait a minute, I've got stabilize. Crud! That probably could have helped her, wouldn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Stabilize makes it so you don't stop bleeding out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Her con.
I mean, you, probably,
might be cool,
you would have had to have something to actually heal her con damage.
Correct.
Yeah.
It'll right. be helpful when we meet Alina.
Or a neutralized poison.
You can stabilize like her so she doesn't lean to the left or the right.
Nice, Mark.
Exactly.
But yeah, so the Aether, for giving them the people that you found the proper burial, what do you go about doing for that?
Oh, I just give them a standard burial in earth. And
okay, so you just dig a hole.
And dig a hole and create, if there's any rocks around, try to create a mound.
Okay, I came from a monastery, so I'll say a few words.
You find it. There's enough rocks throughout the prairie that you're easily able to find enough rocks to make a little, pile of rocks over top of them. And what words, what do you say over the burial?
To the unknown god who sees all, hears all, take these bodies and may their souls find rest. There was no names on any of the bodies?
Not that you could find.
Okay.
I mean,
their families wouldn't
they
want
to. They didn't
know.
Have driver's license on them?
They did not.
No IDs.
Some merchants had the stitched in, certain places.
This was not a licensed caravan.
Registration?
They might have it stitched in a code or something. You never know.
Sure.
But yeah, you find pretty much that after all that, it's pretty. You give them a pretty basic burial, but a good one. And take the caravan, and no one else is doing anything with it at the moment. So, do you give a burial to the bandits at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Same thing.
All right. And anything else before you continue on your journeys?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hup was pretty successful at setting up the caravan, so that way it's or the cart, so that way it's easily able to proceed forward with one with Fred. You can either do it with just Fred. Or you do it with Fred and someone riding on a speckle horse.
Fred doesn't haul a wagon.
Fred's not a wagon hauler?
No, he's not a wagon hauler.
So who's hauling the wagon?
I thought we'd use a speckle horse, but we could.
Two speckle horses?
Yeah.
One with Aetheron and one with. Okay.
You're going to tether Fred to the end?
Aether can ride in the front with one of the spectral horses, and then these two can ride on the other horses. Right.
Good luck trying to get him to ride one of the horses.
He's not.
I'm in the back of the wagon.
Well, we can't. Well, it'll be fine. You can ride one of the spectral horses.
I'll be in the wagon.
I am going to specifically direct the horses over any rocks or potholes I can find.
Boom. Boom.
And if,
boom.
And if there's like cans of beans, I'm going to feed them to the horses.
To the spectral horses.
Imagine what those
man,
things are.
Spectral farts are nasty.
There's just this cloud kill type gas coming out of the horses.
All right. Well, you guys proceed on. You rest for another evening. Pretty uneventful night. The next day,
everybody heals up.
Everyone heals up again. Reset back to one hero point.
We should have used hero
real
points.
Real quick for that.
Yes.
So, while we're trotting along,
mm-hmm.
I want to create some scrolls.
Sure.
I can just imagine him scrolling something in a pothole.
Fine. Whatever. And it looks like I can craft. They can be crafted in batches of four.
Okay.
But I don't know if that means you have to. Because you use one of your spell slots to do it. Does that mean I can use one spell slot to craft four, or.
I think you have to use one spell craft. I think you
per
have to,
one spell per scroll. So you can create four scrolls at one time, but it would use four spell slots.
Okay, that would make sense. Okay.
And you could learn the same spell four times, right?
Yeah. As a wizard, you can memorize the same spell over and over.
Yeah.
So long as you have at least four spell slots.
Yeah. So I'm going to create two grease and one charm. And that eats up all my.
The second grease was not as good as the first one, though.
Yes.
Oh, well. Anyway, so
And then that eats up all my spell slots for the day.
But when I was only three scrolls, are you only making three?
I only have three available.
Oh, okay. Slots. There you go. That makes sense. Okay, so one charm and two grease.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, so as you come over the next hill the following day, after a number of hours traveled, you see the plains. On the last day of travel, the plains begin to give way to more of a desert.
We did terrain. Take a rest.
Yes, yeah. We full rested after that caravan attack. Okay. You crest over the next hill, shortly before you crest over the next hill, the plains give way to more of a sandy soil and eventually to desert terrain. And you see off in the distance, made of mostly stone buildings, few wood ones in amongst, but you see the city of Nishtun. And there appears to be some fairly large guards standing outside, very brutish looking, holding extremely large scimitars that appear to be either interviewing or accosting anyone who comes in. There's a line of people, probably about six other caravans long, waiting to get in there, into the city through the guards. And the party proceeds forward and gets in the line, I assume.
Would this be a large metropolitan city or just like a large town?
It's nowhere near as big as Incanavis, but it's definitely a decent size.
Does it have fortifications and everything?
There are city walls. They are made of sort of stone, sandstone.
Okay.
There's not much foliage in the area. There's, every once in a while you'll see a tree, but very, very few, and they tend to be more kind of the palm tree style as opposed to like a deciduous or anything else. But otherwise, yeah, the city looks not uninviting, but not inviting either, and the guards outside do definitely appear intimidating. But as far as interacting with the guards and seeing what lies on the other, inside the city walls of Nishtun, we will have to wait until next week before we see that. So,
oh, shoot.
Thank you, everybody, for joining, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.